Well, how the crib is, you know, you putting people on, ain't got no job. I'm finna drop this bit early. Fuck it. Whoever catch it, catch it.
No.
I just dropped it early on these things. I'm feeling good because the story touched me, girl.
Z26 is officially dropped.
Yeah.
Right now.
Hey, man, it's your boy Front Street, man. You know who I'm vibing with.
Hey, what up? It's your boy. You already know the one and only Joel Santana.
What's up, y'all? This Lance.
You ready?
It's your boy Corey with a K. His squad representative, Oakland Landline owner.
Yeah.
It's your boy Freshie.
You already know what it is. It's your boy Worldwide Poppy.
Hold on, wait a minute. That thought I was kidding.
What's up, ATL? It's your favorite Ethiopian
Sue
Solo, and you guys are keeping it locked.
Shout out to Miss Tiana E.
Miss Tiana E.
Miss Tiana E.
Miss Tiana E.
Don't change it, okay? Where else you gonna go?
Hey y'all, what's going on? It's Miss Tiana E and I'm here. It's late night special. We are here before the release of Z26. I'm here with my brother. I am Worldwide Poppy. What's going on?
What's up, man?
Are you excited?
I'm excited, Corey.
Cause you got a project that's gonna drop in T-minus 16 minutes.
Yeah,
live. How you feel about it? Like, how you feel from going from DJing, producing, engineering to now, boom. You making the music, like you're writing music and you're recording music now.
Yeah. It was a process, I ain't gonna lie. Like, I don't know, I believe in, like, you know, you got a law of attraction.
Uh-huh.
You know, you are what you attract.
Okay.
And this music was kind of that one thing for me that just never, I couldn't really avoid. It was always attracted to me. So, you know, when I started DJing, it was really like a hustle for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way for me, like, I was still making money what drug dealers were making. But I didn't have to kill nobody, I had to rob nobody, I had to finesse nobody. All I just had to do was pack somebody's establishment up.
Right.
And then not DJ, so I had to, I cut the cost of people booking DJs because I was a DJ. Everybody knew who I was.
Right.
And my friends who I had was doing it with, JR Squad, AMP, Greasy, now DJ Poppy Zoe, Big Dog. And we just, like, you know, it was our hustle.
Right.
You know, we had other things to do, but this was our main hustle, you feel me?
Right.
We was literally, every Friday, we was making more than the coaches.
Right.
You feel me? We had like these 500 kids in there. You tell me 500 kids how swing, you do the math.
So with you DJing and y'all having packing buildings up more than, shit, more than it was going on up the street, like, yeah. How was that impact going on and getting y'all names out more further in Broward?
See, the thing is, it was, at the time, it was only a few select people I was really doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time, it was not really much DJs really doing. It was only me and a couple. Me, JR Squad, and Black Ice. That was only, and Stay in the Lane dude, Fergie, and Springer. They was on the real radio station. They were young DJs.
Okay.
And DJ Bree was in Miami. They were really the only ones really doing that at the time, at my time. So when we first started doing, we was the youngest dude at the time doing it. You feel me? So when we first started doing it, and Spo Day was a promoter too. She was a big underground promoter too in Broward. She was a female, she was Haitian.
Okay.
So she was really the only female holding it down, that whole scene. So we was in our side of town, we from Sunrise. So in Sunrise, it was like, Sunrise big. So we basically had everybody from Sunrise to the Piper Plantation, because I went to Plantation.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Poppy Zoe went to Piper.
Mm-hmm.
Big Dog went to Northeast, which is like, basically, like in Jacksonville, like, you know, the west side and the south side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody went to different schools and everybody played football. Somebody had face, you feel me, what you're doing at the schoolhouse.
Right.
So everybody really had, you know, face cards. So we just pulled together and started doing our own parties. And with that, you know, we had a network of a lot of people. So, you know, Drew had people that, you know, was from his side of town and they knew who they knew and they knew who they knew off the strength of him and he brought what he brought in. Who I knew is who I knew, and the relationships I built with people from other schools, and they already knew I had time. And plus, I was playing football, and you know, everybody, athletes, football players, we know each other from,
right,
from seeing each other playing ball. But everybody had pulled their network, and everybody came together, and pretty much was it. Like, we used to really be on Facebook trapping off that shit. Post a flyer, a little Instagram invite, bid, we see how much, about 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
300, probably like 200 people. But we still calculating it. Cause when we get to the dough, bit, shit, we're gonna let the first 20 people in for the frisky, hold the line.
All right.
Know, and we're gonna wait it out. And then, you know, we're gonna let the girls free that we know we come on, baby. I know you're gonna throw it all night. Come on, come on, come on.
Right.
And that's how we did it. And we kept it consistently. You know,
Now, how was the change for you when you came to college? Like, when you went to college, especially when you went off to North Dakota?
Oh, man. My life kind of... I really never talked to people about that. My life kind of changed after that. Like, I came from being in high school, like, everybody knowing me. You know, everybody, you know, hit my phone. Because I was a party man. I was the person to go to. Like, events. Like, everybody knew. When it came to party scene, calls over.
Right.
So, we had it. But, like, when I left... I mistake those relationships as real true friends because I treat people how, you know, I want to be treated.
Right.
You know, I treat them with respect. And, you know, so when I left, I kind of was missing out the scene because I just took off. I didn't have no communication, so I kind of went into, like, an isolation mode.
Right.
Like, most black people don't go to North Dakota, bro. Ain't shit cracking out there.
Right.
For us.
Right.
You feel me? But it was a way to get out, though. You feel me? I was so, I ain't want to stay, like, I could have stayed home, but I knew what I would be out, what type of nonsense I'd be.
Yeah,
I know what my chances would be. Like the liability of me staying home is a higher risk than compared to if I would stay in North Dakota, because it's a lot of shit going on back in Florida. But I would probably be scamming, you know, drug dealing, blase squazi. But you know, I was like, you know what? I took off. You feel me? I was playing football at the time. And the crazy thing, I wasn't even supposed to go to school. Like, you feel me? How I got in that school? I don't even know how I got in the school. Cause I can't even get into. I couldn't get into Broward College. I couldn't get nowhere. My ACT scores was. Feel me? So when they accepted me, they told me I got in and everything was leased. I flew. And when I flew right in the wintertime. So I'm like, damn, what the fuck going on? This shit. Like, it's January, and that could kind of the winter semester. It's 6 feet of snow. I'm in some.
How was the transition from you being from South Florida going to a whole bunch of snow?
Florida, you know, Florida in January, that been beaming. Your neck burning.
Yeah, it's still love. Your little leg, breeze.
Yeah,
that's it. Like,
it's burning, man.
You feel
me? Get there and it's boop, cold, negative 15 degrees.
Wow.
Ain't no black people around in the radius. Like, in the next city, you find a black person. But at the time, like, damn, fuck. So I got there and everything, you know, I rolled in school and started going through the motions. But, and then I used to hate that place. So one day I went back home for spring break.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there for spring break, I'm seeing all my old friends coming through. They're like, damn, D-Money, what's going on? You know, some people still call me D-Money. Like, damn, going on, that shit. I'm saying how that shit is, you know. And then no offense to my dogs, but like it was like I'm seeing like I said, what y'all boys got going on? Though I'm thinking, you know, it's some change. How my life changed? It's like you know, same old shit.
Did you see people a lot stagnant as you started progressing? Did you see a lot of stagnant work going on?
Stagnant. I think everybody got their own little path.
Mm-hmm.
They little, you know, they little emotion they gotta go through. So when I understand, like, you know, but I did see a lot of stagnancy, but I was like, I more so looked at it as he ain't get to where he need to be at yet.
Right.
He'll figure it out later.
Right.
You know, when we talked about earlier, like, you can't expect somebody to fly this plane that don't know how to fly the plane.
Right.
You know, I had to look, okay, if I know I'm trying to get to this point, right, like Belichick, he wanted to get to a point. Belichick paid for Patriots, you feel me? He's the head coach. He knew he wanted to get to a certain position, so he had to hire who he needed to hire. And it's not much people.
Right.
It's two people that he know he can left and right, he can depend on, can do 10 niggas jobs.
Right.
So I understand that some people got life going on. They got their own shit going on. They don't want to, you know, I'm living my life, so I'm in my movie right now. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm in my movie right now, so I can't be worrying about the next nigga movie. So I don't expect anybody else to worry about my movie. So, but you see what I got going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like your movie can tie into what I got going on, come through. But you feel me? All that other extra shit, the bro shit, and the third like that, that gotta stop. You feel me? Because at the same point, you know, when it comes down to it, if anything you was going through, you the first person online.
Yeah.
I'm speaking third person, you the first person online to help you out. No, I don't want nothing from you.
Right.
I just want to see you win. You're
right.
Doing something that you love. That inspires me. That means when I see you going hard, okay, I got to get up too. I got to go harder too because
right.
He going hard.
Right.
But a lot of people don't, they take that as intimidation. So you got to let them do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? And it's really, you really just looking for people around you just to motivate you to get off your ass. That's really it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nigga, I know I can't be. I got homeboy that's in the league. I wish I could have been in the league. That's what my thought was when I went to North Dakota. This is the only way because, you know, in Florida, the only place we know where we think gonna happen is football. That's the way we make it out. We don't know about being a doctor. We don't know about being an accountant. We don't know how to being, you know, financial and real estate. And we don't know about stuff like that. We don't got OGs like that coming back to us telling us about it. All we know is about the dope boys and the football players.
Right.
You feel me? So yeah. That's all we get to look at in the pretty girls.
Yeah.
So you know, the fast life, this is what we knew. We don't have old niggas like that's doing it, that's really making it happen. When I came to Atlanta, from North Dakota to Atlanta, I seen that. When I was in North Dakota, I had white folks looking at me crazy, you know? It's and I don't really fault them for it. It's ignorance, because I understood ignorance at that time. That's what I learned out there.
Right.
In solitude, because, you know, the only time niggas really know who we really are is when we locked up, or when we, you feel me?
Point
in point when you ain't talking to nobody.
Right.
That's the only time where you really find yourself. You know your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was going through that solitude, I found that it's ignorance that's really keeping them folks knowing who we really are. Because, you know, all we see is TV.
Yeah.
Ain't no black folks going to North Dakota seeing how the hood is. Ain't no hood over there. So you ain't going to know. It's still what you see on TV. So, you know, like I say, you know, people, like, back to your question, like, my friends changing, like, it's like, it come with the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got their own movie going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish it could have been different, but, like, it's like, people stagnant, you gotta keep it going. Like, show don't work for nobody. If you dwell on that little shit right there, you're gonna miss what you're really supposed to be doing. So, yeah.
Did that have a different impact on how you see a lot of things? Like, you being in this state of solid, like, you know, like you were talking about the state of solitude.
Yeah.
Did that have a sense of uncomfortableness for you? Did you feel like a sense of uncomfortableness?
I didn't feel uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable like a motherfucker the first time.
And did you know that that's what stuff was finna change? Like, when you felt so uncomfortable, you knew?
I didn't know.
Of course, we don't know nothing, but, you know, we don't ever know how it's gonna go. But when you feel, did you feel uncomfortable? Did you feel like a good uncomfortability? I mean, uncomfortable, you just
gonna be. How did I feel?
How did you feel? All
right, I felt like the first day of high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't know about, like, you know, the first day of your ninth grade year. Like, you don't know what to expect. You're optimistic, but you're scared, but you're excited at the same time. And then you hate it at one point. You, like, completely hate, like, your emotions keep fluttering.
Right.
That's how I felt when I first got it. Because I was like, bro, I'm coming from Florida, bro. Everybody knows me. It was not, like, something, you feel me? I got to watch the time, because, you know, that'd be for the drop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it going to drop automatically?
I got to press the button. I'm the button presser.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The label put me in charge, so I just pressed the button.
Okay. Speaking of the label putting you in charge, when did you know that you wanted to own your own label, you want to own your own rights, you owning your own things? Like, what encouraged you to own your own stuff?
To be real, listening to Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt, when I got to college. You know, a lot of niggas from Florida, we don't listen to shit from, if it's not from Lauderdale, we not listening to it. If it ain't from Florida, we ain't gonna listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know a lot of local people from your city, you already know what's coming through before you listen to something from somewhere else. So it's like, I wasn't exposed to that. So it's not till I, you know, got into that little situation in North Dakota, and, you know, solitude is when I started tapping in to, you know, I started tapping in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just really, I literally lived 30 steps away from a river at my old apartment in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
All I had was my turntables, this right here,
mm-hmm.
and music, and it was just me and my dogs, Savion and my dog, Oop Nasty, my dog Rashad. Mm-hmm. Rashad from Lauderdale, he used to play ball. I was told to go to them parties, too. We never used to get invited. We used to really have to, somebody had to really send us the address. They used to try to keep that bit kind of segregated a little bit, and that's the first time I started dealing with segregation.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happened, shit, I was like, okay, this is how the game goes. So I just created my own vibe. And created my own vibe, that's when I started finding I can paint. I was painting in that month. I was doing ceramics. I was toning out. I wasn't playing football no more. Me and the coaches, they didn't follow through. So, you know, instead of going back home, I was like, you know, I'm here. You feel me?
Man.
I'm going to stand 10 toes in this shit to some shape. And then that's when I got to Clark.
Mm-hmm.